How's everybody doing? Well, about one third of you are awake. So let's see if we can wake everybody else up. How's everybody doing? Great. Good. That's all I could hear. Great. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. I don't have a message for you today, but I am going to talk with you a little bit from the Bible. You know, I think we can become accustomed to every Christmas Sunday or Sunday before Christmas that we come into church and we sing some carols and sing some Christmas songs, and then we hear the story about Christmas. And then we ho-hum, go on about our way, and get back into the mad dash of things. So today, I just want to talk with you a little bit about rediscovering Christmas. And how do we rediscover Christmas, Pastor? I mean, it's been celebrated for eons, and we know all about it, and we know the routine, and we go through it every year for about 3 or 4 crazy weeks. We go through the madness of it. You know, we think of Christmas as the manger scene. We see the baby in the manger. And Jesus is born. And that's what Christmas is. But I wonder if we ever get past that baby in the manger. Do we ever get past the baby in the manger? Does he ever become more than just the Savior is born? Does he get to be, as we move away from Christmas, does he get to be the Savior who walks with us and talks with us? Some of you look at me like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, think about it. Does he truly become Emmanuel? Emmanuel means God with us. Does he truly become, moving from that manger as he grew into an adult, as he was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, and overcome sin and death, does he become God with us every day? Or is he just that baby in the manger one time a year? Christmas is the most celebrated time of the year. Yes, even more than Easter. Because more unbelievers celebrate Christmas than unbelievers celebrate Easter. And so we have gazillions of people celebrating Christmas. It's the most celebrated event or most celebrated holiday of the year. And yet it's the darkest time of the year. It's the darkest time of the year. Now some of you really got thrown for a loop. It is. It's the most celebrated time, but it's the most darkest time. Do you know the depression is at its highest level during the Christmas season? Depression in people. Do you know that suicide is at its highest this time of the year? Why is that? Why is that? It's the most celebrated time, but yet the darkest time. Could it be because we've lost the real meaning of Christmas? Yeah, I know. We say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? That's the buzz line. Am I right? But is he really? Is he really? Okay, listen. I don't want this to come off as some negative, downcast message this morning. What I want it to come off as is something to stop us a little bit, slow us down a little bit, and just get us to think, what are we doing? What is this really about? And what is life about? Have we lost the meaning? Jesus, God with us, promises to provide our needs. And I wonder sometimes if we haven't confused completely our needs and wants. They kind of get intermingled, commingled, twisted around. In John chapter 8, we just heard this scripture earlier. And verse 12. In John chapter 8, by the way, let me just back up a little bit. This is the passage where you may not be familiar with it, but the Sadducees and Pharisees and some of the religious leaders caught a woman in adultery, in the act of adultery, the Bible says. And so they drag her out into the street and bring her to Jesus where he was preaching and teaching. And so they wanted her to be stoned. They were testing Jesus, and they said, you know, the law says stone her. You know, Jesus' response is interesting. For those of you who don't know the response, he just kind of stooped down and began to write in the dirt. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. Sure be interesting to know, wouldn't it? And they kept prodding him. What do you say, teacher? What do you say? Here she is. As he stood, he said, okay, any of you guys that don't have sin get to throw the first stone. So let's get started. And he stooped back down and began to write again. And one by one, they kind of filtered away. And when he stood back up, he said to the young woman, he said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. They've gone. And he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Stop your sinning. And then he began in verse 12 to teach again. In verse 12, he says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. We just sang about that. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, I believe Jesus is the light of the world primarily because he said so. Because he said it, not because somebody told me, but because he said it. And his word is truth. But also, I believe he's the light of the world because beyond that, I have experienced that in my life. And so, if Jesus is the light of the world, and we celebrate Christmas as the coming, the birth of the light of the world, why is there so much darkness? Why is there so much darkness? Could it be because we haven't received that light? We haven't received the light of the world. You know, depression is a horrible thing. And for those that are steeped in it deeply, it just seems hopeless. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Life. Not life as we know it in the everyday humdrum routine, but life in the light. Jesus said a couple of things in different places, and this is why I said he promises to provide our needs. He promises to provide our needs in so many different ways, and I think at Christmas, especially at Christmas, we confuse wants with needs. And I'm not saying it's wrong to want something in life, want something materially. But how bad do we want it? How bad do we desire our wants versus desiring our needs? Listen to some of the things that Jesus tells us he is. He says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He's our nutrition. He's our source of food. He's our source of energy, physical life. He says, I'm the door. I'm the door. He's the doorway to the light. He's the doorway to life. He says, I'm the door. And so If he's the doorway to life, could it be that people are not stepping through that door to receive the light, and that's why they live in so much darkness? He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Now, we all know what shepherds do, most of us. They watch over sheep. They're sheep herders. They take care of the sheep. They protect the sheep. They guide the sheep to green pastures where they can get food and energy and grow and produce. But he says, I'm the good shepherd. And in the Bible, it's capitalized. The good shepherd. I believe that means he's the best shepherd. You know, we're sheep. You know, I'm just an under-shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. I'm just an under-shepherd. But really, we're all sheep. The Bible refers to us as sheep. And you know, sheep are not known to be the most intelligent things on earth. No offense. But he says, I'm the good shepherd. That means he will guide us to good places. He'll guide us to good food, to green pastures. No, it doesn't mean life. Do you know sheep are attacked by wolves, coyotes, all sorts of things? So he says, I'm the good shepherd, and he'll guide us to good places if we'll let him. Doesn't mean life will be just easy street. But it means we have a good shepherd that if we'll follow, if we'll listen to his voice, if we'll listen to his directions, if we'll go where he tells us to go, if we'll stay away from the places he tells us to stay away from, things will be a lot better than if we don't. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. You know, the Bible says when we're born dead, spiritually dead. Yes, we're alive physically, but we're born physically, but spiritually, when we come into the world, we're dead spiritually, and we need to be resurrected. We need our spiritual life to be resurrected. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, he was crucified on a cross. It probably looked something similar to that old rough, ragged thing that came from the woods way south of here. And after he was taken down and buried, he was resurrected through the power of the Spirit of God. And that's a picture of what he wants for our life. He wants us to be resurrected spiritually, in our spiritual life, in the way we think, the way we love, the way we desire, the way we look at people and look at ourselves. He's the resurrection of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying, I'm the way to the Father, to God. I'm the way to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, I'm the way. I'm the truth. What he says is truth. The Bible says the word became life. And so truth is life. Jesus is truth. Jesus is life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if we live our life not... You know, the first thing we think of, if you're not a Christian, you think of, I got to follow all these rules. I got to be good here. I can't do this. I have to do that. That's really not what it's about. It's about a transformation. It's about a change of who you are. And some of you say, well, I can't change who I am. I know that. I couldn't change who I am, who I was. But Jesus can change who you are. Jesus can change who you are. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. He can transform your life from where it is today to where he wants you to be. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now the vine, we think probably the vine of this stuff that crawls all around. But really, when you look at what the true meaning of the vine is, it's the stump. It's the trunk. It's like a tree trunk, the vine. And then the branches go out from the vine. And Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. You branch out. Now, what happens if those branches are not, don't stay connected to the vine? If they're cut off, they die. They wilt, they wither, and they die. Now, if Jesus used that analogy for he and us, what does that mean? Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You know, if you read a little farther in that scripture, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from us, we can't have life. Apart from him, we can't have light. And so Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We got to stay connected. You see, it's more than just the baby in the manger. He grew up to be an adult, to be a human, to be tempted in all ways like all of us, to be killed by religious people, by the way. Religious people, the most religious people at the time. And then he was raised from the dead to be the light, to be life for us, so that we don't have to stay dead in our sins. We can be born again spiritually. He said, I'm the light of the world. Right after he dealt with this situation with this woman caught in adultery, and he finished ministering to her and said, go and sin no more. He said, I am the light of the world. And you know what was happening during that dialogue with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the guys that had dragged her out there and thrown her down in the dirt in front of him? He was casting light. He was casting light when he stooped down and was drawing in the dirt, and when he stood up and he said, okay, let's stone her. And I'm paraphrasing. Whoever's of this crowd out here that wants her stone is without sin. You get to throw the first stone. So let's get started. Well, they scattered. They scattered. Have you ever seen, walked into a dark room, or some of you that have barns and animals, and you flip a light on, and you see the rats scatter when the light comes on? That was kind of what was happening here. Yeah, religious people can be rats. Can be the rattiest at times. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Why is it that Christmas is the most celebrated time and yet in ways the darkest time? Why is it the depression is at its highest level at Christmas time? Why is it that suicide is the highest level at Christmas? Could it be that our needs and our wants are swapped? Could it be that we put expectations on ourselves and other people? I wonder sometimes if people are depressed because they don't have money to buy gifts, that they want to buy all gifts for these people. You know, that can be depressing. So maybe it's time to rediscover Christmas. It's not just the birth of a baby. It's not just the birth of the Christ child. It's Jesus grown up, God with us. It's Emmanuel, God with us every day, in your good times, in your bad times, in your best times, and in your worst times. God with us. And I think oftentimes Christians, we get this idea, or we get into this funk that it's Christmas. Yeah, it's the birth of Christ, and he's born. And our mentality is that he's always a baby. He's always that baby in the manger. You know, that's not true. He grew up. Just like when we were born as a baby, he grew up into adulthood. And he was obedient to the Father. He was God. You see, none of us have seen God. But this is the other reason Jesus came. To reveal God. He was to reveal God. And as we look at Jesus, and we look at Jesus away from the manger as he grew up, and as he began to teach his ministry through those 3 years of ministry, just like the woman caught in adultery, he was revealing who God is. He was revealing God's heart so that everybody could know what God's like. And so that's what God's like. He's like Jesus. He's not just the baby in the manger. That was only the beginning. That was only the beginning. So I want to encourage you today to rediscover Christmas this year. As we move over the next few days to Christmas Day, you know, ask the Lord to reveal something new to you about who he is and what he means to you. What really Christmas is about. I am the light of the world, he said. And so if he's the light of the world, we should be able to experience his light, shouldn't we, in our life. And it doesn't have to mean that things are peaches and cream. We can still experience his light. Because when we do, depression becomes less and less of a power over us. Our wants become less and less of a power over us. And the light of the world becomes really light to us. Light to us. Let's pray together. You know, as you go through the Bible and you look at all those things that Jesus said, who he was, I am. I am the bread of life. He's our provision for life. I am the door. He's the doorway to God the Father, the doorway to heaven. He's the good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way and the truth and the life. And I can say to you this morning, I believe Christmas should have as much meaning, if not more, of the resurrection and the life than Easter. Yes, I know Easter is, you know, actually Easter is not Easter. Easter was a pagan holiday. I'm not going to chase that rabbit today, but it's resurrection is what we need to look at. Resurrection. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And so I wonder this Christmas, have you seen the light? Have you seen the light? What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean is, have you recognized the need for God in your life? Have you recognized the need for Christ the Savior? Have you recognized your need for a Savior? You know, you can't save yourself. Well, save from what? Well, hell, number one. But to save you from yourself. You know, we can screw life up really bad, can't we? That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need light. And so my question this morning is, at this Christmas time, have you received the light that Christmas represents, that the baby in the manger represents? If you haven't, you can receive that light this morning. You do it by faith, by believing. Believing in what, Pastor? Believing that Jesus was God's Son, born in a manger, just like all the stories tell us. But that he grew up and he was crucified on a cross buried, and then resurrected to life through the power of God. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I ask you this morning, have you received the light? Have you been saved? The best gift that you can give this morning, the best gift that you can give this Christmas, is the gift of your life to Christ. Giving your life to Christ by faith. And so if you need to do that this morning, I want to encourage you to do that. If you want to come forward, we'll pray with you and help you with that. There'll be somebody at the back that you can pray with. But, you know, you can give and give and give stuff you can buy. But you can't buy life. You can't buy Christ. So, are you willing to give your life to Christ today? You do that by asking Him to forgive you of your sin. You do that by being repentant. Repenting. Repent means to turn away. That means make a decision that I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live God's way. And then you just say, God, I believe. I believe Christ is my Savior. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. The Bible says you will be saved. I hope you do that this morning. There's another thing that Jesus says. He is healer. Jesus is a healer. Maybe you need healing this morning. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you need healing from depression. Maybe you need healing in your physical body. Maybe you have cancer this morning. Maybe you have some other kind of sickness. You know, the Bible tells us to lay hands on one another and to pray over one another that we might be healed. So if you need healing this morning, we're here to pray for you. We're here to pray for you. Okay, then he'll come forward, honey. You need healing this morning. We want to pray for you. Thank you. someone here this morning, this Christmas Sunday, needs to give your life to God, you want to do that? It's really a great day to do that. Nothing embarrassing about it. The Bible says all the angels in heaven rejoice when one person comes to the Lord. Don't let him hold you back today. If you need God in your life, let us pray with you. He'll make a difference in your life. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, who is the light of the world, who is and was and is to come. God, we thank you. We worship you this Christmas day, this Christmas season. We worship you, Father. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us in our faith, to encourage us no matter where we are. Even if there's an unbeliever sitting here, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would encourage them and draw them to you. Lord, you are the good shepherd. You are the bread of life. We thank you for being all those things and making all those things available to us. So, Father, help us to rediscover Christmas, to look at Christmas in a new way this year. To look at life in a new way. To see the light of the world for who he really is. To receive the light of the world as he really is. And for us, Father, to be a part of that light in this world, which is your plan for us. We thank you. We praise you. Father, we come now to worship you with our tithes and our offerings, to just return a portion of what's yours to you. Because we know that everything we have, everything that we are, everything that we will have belongs to you. So we honor you today, Father, by being obedient to you through your tithes and your offerings. Your tithes and your offerings. We ask you, Father, for faith, to believe that you are our great provider, that you are our provision, not only light, but provision. You're the bread of life in all areas of our life. We thank you for it. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.